Welcome to the Church Source Channel, the place to be inspired, encouraged, and equipped to lead, love, and serve God's people. This week's special guest is best-selling author and president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, Lisa Turkhurst.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the webcast. I'm Lisa Allen, and I'm here with my friend and best-selling author, Lisa Turkhurst, Bible teacher, president of Proverbs 31 Ministries, but really, you journey with us in life together. And we're here to talk about your new book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you guys so much for being with us today. So thank you, Lisa, for spending some time with us. Now, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. The tagline is Finding Unexpected Strength When Disappointments Leave You Shattered. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful because I think you wouldn't naturally expect those words, the combination of which, to be put in one sentence.
Yes.
You know, I really especially like the combination of unexpected strength because when you're in shattering circumstances, you very much start to feel like it's an end, but definitely not possibly something through which you could gain strength.
Sure.
One of the Bible verses that you've probably heard before, it's a pretty common set of verses, I have a particularly complicated relationship with. It's James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, my sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know. You see, in the midst of so many things that we don't know, how our circumstances are going to turn out, how our relationships are going to turn out, how our future is going to look. There's so much we don't know.
Sure.
But those verses make it clear, here's what you can know.
Oh, I love it.
And that is that when you face trials of many kinds, you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you can be mature, complete, not lacking anything.
So
in the midst of everything we don't know, what we do know is we will find unexpected strength.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's so good. Now, when we talk about that, you know, the disappointments that leave you shattered, I wonder if you could share with the audience a little bit more about what were some of the disappointments that you've walked through over the last couple of years that have left you feeling shattered.
Well, I feel like probably many of you know my story, but I want you to keep in mind as I list these off a couple of things. One, even if your circumstances are different, this message of the book and the Bible study, my story is just the background. I didn't want to tell my story to satisfy people's curiosity. I wanted to provide them some context of the deep pain that I was in. So even if your circumstances are different, this message can apply to you.
It's really
for anyone going through very deep disappointments, or even disappointments that have bothered you for a long time that just seem to go unresolved. So that's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing to keep in mind is when I list off what I've been through, I don't want it to sound flippant. These things were the deepest heartbreak of my life, and sometimes listing them off for the sake of time makes it sound less impactful
than so wise
what they really were as they were unfolding over a series of 3 years. So the past 3 years really have been the most devastating of my life. I found out my husband was having an affair, kept that private for 18 months. Not that I was trying to keep secrets. Secrets are for the purpose of hiding.
Right.
Privacy is for the sake of healing.
That's a good word.
And so, and even to this day, we've kept some of the details around this private, but we kept it private for 18 months, and then it became apparent that the story was going to come out. It was not going in a direction that I had hoped and prayed for it to go in. And so at the point in June of 2017, after 18 months of trying to work this through, it appeared as if our marriage was not going to be able to be saved, because I remember telling my husband, I love you and I can forgive you, but I cannot share you. And so it was going to come out either through the rumor mill, or we were going to have to get out ahead of it and let people know what we were facing. That was the absolute hardest, blog post I've ever had to write, and I thought just the publishing of it was seriously going to give me a complete breakdown. It was a devastating day. That was in June of 2017, so that was very difficult. Also, when I walked through this, several medical issues came up, so sure. I had to have pretty major surgery that landed me in the critical care unit for 15 days with the doctors telling my family they weren't sure I was going to make it. So that, and that was an issue that I had with my colon. And then also in the midst of all of this, right when I started to think maybe things were going to take a turn better, I was healing. I still wasn't sure if our relationship was going to make it or not. But right when I started to feel like I was getting some normalcy back in my life, in the fall of 2017, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And
it's and then, not supposed to be this way.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So like I said, I mean, there's a lot here. But it's not just the book, It's Not Supposed to Be This Way. It's not just about the epic disillusionments that we walk through. It really is acknowledging the fact that most of us have disappointments on varying degrees that we don't know what to do with. Anytime we have an expectation that's here, and then we have an experience that here that's here, the fertile ground between those two is the place where disappointments grow and sometimes fester and sometimes take us away from really trusting God. Because when God's promises start to seem doubtful, like everyone else is walking in answered prayers, but why am I not? You know, I mean, if you've ever been to that place where you're asking, why me, why this, why now? So then his lack of intervention seems hurtful. Like, God, you could do something.
But you're not.
But you're not. And I just saw you do it for this person,
so
you know,
why?
So why? Or when his timing seems questionable, you know, in 2016, I was walking through the deepest devastation in my own marriage and that three of our adult kids were having weddings that year, you know? And
such
so
a, it's a complicated contrast,
it
right?
It is, it is. But isn't that the way life is? And so I wrote this message to give us a biblically sound, but also safe place to talk about our disappointments. Because I know if the enemy can isolate us, he can influence us. And never are we more susceptible to that than when we are keeping disappointments inside, smiling on the outside, dying on the inside. And I think it's time that we have some safe, biblically sound Christian conversations around all of this.
Well, and thank you for making those kind of conversations normal and something we don't have to be afraid of. So so let's go a little bit more practically. How did you find strength in the midst of all of those circumstances that I'm sure were overwhelmingly disappointing? I'm sure your life felt like it was shattered. You speak in the book about it being dust and you can't glue dust back together. So what are some of the things that helped you hold on to your faith when you were tempted? Were you tempted to give up at times?
100%. I wouldn't say I was tempted to give up as much as I was tempted to tie my hope to unpredictable circumstances.
Oh, that's good.
And then tying your hope to things that may or may not ever change can make you start to feel very hopeless. So was I super strong through this process? Absolutely not. I really don't want you to have that impression. I mean, there were some days where the depth of my prayer life, many days, many nights, waking up at 2:30 in the morning, utterly alone in my house. And the depth of my prayer life was, God, I love you, and I know you love me. And I would say it over and over and over and over until finally he would give me the gift of being able to fall back asleep. But I wouldn't say I was the picture of strength in the midst of this. I would say I found unexpected strength. I remember telling my counselor, I just want to get over this. And probably you have some circumstances that have marched in your direction before where you think, I just got to get over this, you know. But what my counselor really helped me see is, Lisa, you don't want to get over this. It's too big of a chasm to try to jump mm-hmm. from hurt to healing. Mm-hmm. You are going to have to learn to walk through this. So my unexpected strength, at the risk of sounding too hyper-spiritual, my unexpected strength really came in those daily moments with God, walking through this. And when I say hyper-spiritual, you know, sometimes I think as Christians we say, you know, just let go and let God. Well, that sounds like it could preach really well, but sometimes it doesn't live really well, you know. Do I agree with it? Sure. Yeah. But when you're in the midst of hard stuff, how in the world do you apply that? And so I knew in the living of this message, that if I was really struggling with this, I knew other people were. So you were asking me some of those practical things that I did to walk through this. One thing is I made sure that I was surrounded by people who would let me stand on their faith when my own got very shaky. And I knew that I had the right community of people around me when I found people that were not so eager to explain God away, like why this happened or what I could have done better or what I needed to do at this point. They weren't interested in those things. They really would come and just bring their presence. That human presence was very precious to me.
Like while you were going through it, they were going
exactly
with you.
Yes. And they trusted the fact that I have a relationship with God, so I can hear from God. So when I would invite them into processing things with me, then that became healthy. But remember, God doesn't want to be explained away. He wants to be invited in.
Oh, that's
so
good.
It was those people who would bring their presence and invite in the presence of God. But sometimes they would just weep with me, and that's biblical too.
Yes.
Weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn. I knew these people were praying more words over me than they were speaking to me or about me, and that was very comforting.
Oh, so good. And so when you think about that, there's so many women that are listening that, again, you painted a picture that disappointment could mean a job loss, it could be finances, it could be the death of a career or a dream or something, but they're sitting in churches. And how hard is it to be able to go into a Bible study and really share? And so why do you see this message so important, Lisa, for the women that are sitting maybe even in spiritual community, but maybe feeling that confusion about, am I being private or should I be discreet, or how do I know whether to share or not? Why do you believe this message will help them?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. Sometimes we feel like we're bringing an atmosphere of negativity when we talk about our disappointments. And in the Christian world, I think we're told, be joyful, be thankful, be prayerful. And I agree with all of that.
Yes.
I agree. We need to be joyful, prayerful, thankful. But I also think we need a scriptural tool to be able to talk about our disappointments without setting an atmosphere of negativity, but rather setting an atmosphere of truth.
That's good.
And so I do feel like this book is not just a book, it's also a Bible study with a curriculum saturated in the scripture to give some language around how you can process disappointments in a healthy way, in a biblical way, in a way that doesn't take you away from trusting God, but actually takes you deeper into trusting Him. And so I think that's really important. Will it open up the avenue for people to share some of their disappointments? Absolutely, it will. I do encourage you, though, different personalities and different people have different levels of threshold of privacy. And so it might surprise you with, as authentic as I am, you might say, wow, Lisa, I can't believe you've shared so much about your journey. But really, I have a deep need for privacy in my life. So you'll notice, you know what I'm walking through, but I am private about many, many details
yes.
surrounding the big realities, the big circumstances sure. that I'm going through. You know what I'm walking through, and I invite you into the depth of my pain, but even I keep a lot of the details private. And that's because so many of the stories involve other people, and I only want to tell my story. You know, some of it's not my story to
sure.
tell.
Yeah.
So I think because I'm able to walk that road of being authentic and transparent while still being private, I think other people will too.
I agree.
But regardless, this is a safe study to be able to process some of the disappointments that maybe we've never known how to talk about before. And it is important.
I agree. And I love in the book how you keep going back to God's word, and you even in each chapter have a section called the well.
That's
where
right.
you can go back. And so it's guided. I heard somebody recently say it's like the runway lights on an air, you know, for an mm-hmm. airport. It gives you some guardrails on mm-hmm. where to land when you're going through your own disappointments.
Yeah, I think one of my desires with this book, it wasn't just to teach you what you should know when you're going through difficult times, but and I do that, but that's not the only purpose.
Right.
It's also to teach you how to mm-hmm. get personal access to God's word when you go through hard times so that God can speak to you privately and specifically and intimately about your unique circumstances. And one of the greatest joys has been people loving the depth of Bible study.
Yes.
So you mentioned at the end of every chapter,
yes.
there is, if you want to take this and go a little deeper. Mm-hmm. That facilitates that. But then I'm very passionate about the Participant's Guide, which yes. is like a Bible study workbook that's
yes.
separate than the book, and the DVD teaching series, sure. which each of the DVD sessions are around no more than 20 minutes.
Oh, that's good.
I may have snuck one in there that was like 21 or 22, so I don't know. But anyways, they're short enough mm-hmm. to where I am teaching, I can get in and we can go deep, but not complicated.
Yes.
You know, it's deep teaching. It's uncomplicating the deep truths of scriptural teachings that I think are very significant. And they're not just for one circumstance in life. It's like anytime you go through something hard, or something that leaves you feeling a bit uncertain mm-hmm. or just asking those why me questions,
yeah.
You will return to this teaching over mm-hmm. and over. And even more importantly, you will know the right comforting words mm-hmm. to possibly give to someone else when they ask the harder questions about experiences they're going through. And why would a good God let something like this happen? You'll have some context that I think will equip you to be able to really give some authentic, compassionate answers.
So that's so good. Like, I love one of the things you said, it hits women where they are. So this is a book that you can receive in a Bible study that no matter where you are in your journal or mm-hmm. in your journey, it will work for you. And so if we have some Bible study leaders or some ministry leaders, that's a good way to bring it into your church, to have some Bible study mm-hmm. set up specifically around this. And that opens up women's ability to communicate well. So,
yeah. Yeah, and I would say, just to tag on to that too, you know, if I was a women's ministry leader at my church, it's complicated to know what to offer for women who are in really hard circumstances.
Yeah.
But I think this will give you an opportunity to say, we have something for you.
Yes.
But you don't have to limit it to people walking through difficult relationship dynamics, whether it's with their husband or their kids or whatever. But like you said, it could be a dream that gets derailed, or a job loss, or whatever. I would say anytime people are hurting, this is a fantastic Bible study to know you've got something that is safe, scripturally sound, solid Bible teaching, but taught with extreme compassion. Because people will know I understand,
yes.
because they'll know what I'm walking through as I'm putting this material together.
It's so good. And I love that you use the word compassion, and it helps women that may feel isolated or even shame, you know, some shame about what their circumstances that they're going through, that they can enter a place and it feels safe.
That's right.
It feels very safe to have hard conversations. So I know that you have the ability to be in a lot of different places in our country and talk to a lot of women, whether it's on social media, on your blog, or face-to-face with your when you go and teach. But I'm wondering if there are any stories that you've heard from other women that you feel you'd like to share. How has this resonated with the other women that you've intersected with?
Well, there's so many stories, but one of them has to do with your mom, Lisa.
Oh, I love
you
that.
Know, I mean, I think her circumstances don't look anything like mine, but moving into more of a retirement home situation and leaving her home
yes.
That she'd been in for so long, yeah. life does not look like she thought it would.
Exactly.
And so it's difficult.
Yes.
So, you know, I have that story all the way to a really dear, sweet, young gal who had her third baby, and just life was just on that beautiful, like, wow, our family has come together and we're, you know, just doing life together. And all of a sudden, one day, she comes home and her husband doesn't. And so utter devastation for her, saying it's not supposed to be this way,
yes,
right?
Sure.
To another gal that I heard about who is going through some things with their teenage son that, you know, she felt like she had done checked all the parenting boxes.
Yes.
Right? And then now he's making choices that absolutely break her heart. To the other day, I had the opportunity to speak with a husband who desperately wants to keep his family together, and things are falling apart, and he read the book. To women facing medical situations, you know, there's so many stories. And you know what, I think it's another important distinctive is while we are dealing with heavy topics, the study is not heavy.
No, actually, you know? I have laughed out loud so often in reading. Your writing style is so delightful because just when it gets heavy, but then you also bring the lightness of life as well.
I wanted the words from this book to be gritty and real and to be an emotional experience for people. The joy, I wanted joy just to explode off the pages in unexpected places.
Yes.
And yet at the same time, I wanted us to be able to cry together when that was appropriate too, but woven through the every bit of the text is this hope that people, every time you close the book, no matter what place in the book you are, you'll get this sense of, okay, even though
yes.
these things are true and real and need to be worked through, there is this beautiful sense of hope yes. that emerges, and that's part of that unexpected strength.
I completely agree. In fact, I find myself over and over again laughing and crying, but also grounded in Christ and in God's word, because as much as your story is an example told through the book, you're not really saying, look at me. You're saying, look at God's word, look at Christ, and that's where the hope that we come from. So, okay, speaking of hope, let's think about the woman who's watching today. And she's saying, okay, Lisa, I get it. I get it. My circumstance is a little bit different. You don't understand all of the complications. And she's really on her last thread, hanging by the last thread. What would you say a couple of practical action steps that she could take today that would help her keep moving?
I would say, probably in the midst of all the realities, from a spiritual standpoint, remember God does his best work in the unseen. And so just because you can't see progress doesn't mean that there isn't progress. And just because you can't see God working doesn't mean he isn't working. I think one day I hope Art and I will be able to share our story together. And some of the times where I felt like, God, what are you doing? I mean, you could be doing this and this and this and this. And here's the reality. I've now been able to have conversations with Art, like, what was God doing? And he was working.
Wow.
Now, it wasn't usually in the way that I suggested.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I can tell you all those prayers I prayed with so many suggestions to God, he didn't follow any of my suggestions. He had a plan, and it was for good, and it was for healing, and it was for progress, and he was convicting. He was shifting. He was moving. He was doing things. And I wish I had known that a little bit more going through this process. So just know, even when you can't see anything, God does his best work in the unseen.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Here's another thing I would say. Some of you will have seen on social media that on December 11th, Art and I did reconcile, and we renewed our vows, and we are back together now. And if you're in a hard relationship, that could evoke several different feelings.
Sure.
Number one, it could evoke hope. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, if God did it for them, maybe he could do it for us too. But it could also evoke hopelessness. Mm-hmm. Like, I prayed the same kind of prayers that Lisa did. I went to counseling. I held out. You know, I wanted my marriage restored. So why would God do that for Lisa and not do it for me? So I want to speak to that. And that is that there's a big difference between reconciliation and redemption. Mm-hmm. The two are not dependent on each other. Reconciliation requires that two people want to come back together in a relationship, own what they need to own, heal what they need to heal, improve what they need to improve, and work on things together. That's reconciliation. I did not think I was going to have that through most of this book. That's why it's not a book about how to come together after your relationship has fallen apart. You don't know until the very last page that there's the possibility we may come back together.
Yeah.
And even then, I let you know how scared I am, and I'm just saying, okay, Art, let's try. So it's not a book about reconciliation. It's not a study about reconciliation, although that has happened now. But reconciliation is not the point. The point is we are all, whether reconciliation is possible or not, we all have an opportunity to walk out redemption with God. And
that's
you
good.
Can have a redeemed life with God, whether or not reconciliation is ever possible.
Okay.
And the truths of this book richly apply to both because it's so centered and grounded in our relationship with God first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And God will never forsake you. He may go to great lengths to remake you and to take the circumstances that have been placed on you or that maybe you have caused at some point in your life. But he can take all of that and from the dust places of our life. Sometimes we have brokenness, broken pieces, glue them back together. God's light shines through. We all sing Kumbaya. Yay. That was not my circumstance.
Right.
I didn't have broken pieces. My life had been shattered to dust. And I felt hopeless because you can't glue dust.
Yes.
But what God really showed me is that out of all the ingredients in the world that he could have chosen to make his favorite creation, mankind, he chose dust. He chose it.
That's beautiful.
And he breathed into it, and from that came life. Dust does not have to signify the end.
Right.
Dust is often what must be present for the brand new to begin.
Oh, that's so, I'm sure there's somebody that's tuned in just for that line in itself. And I love that what you're saying is that that God didn't give you the perfect plan and then you wrote the book. That it was as you were walking through this, he intentionally held out the end of that story so that this could pour forth. And I believe so that all the women that read it can relate on many different levels, no matter where they are. So thank you so much, Lisa, as we close today. Thank you for writing this book, and thank you for stewarding a hard message and a difficult season in your life, but all for God's glory. So
thank you, Lisa.
You so much. And thank you all for joining us today. And you can find out some more information on It's Not Supposed to Be This Way book and Bible study attached to this webinar. Bye-bye.